Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Jacksonville, Florida. I want you to get ready,
to receive of the Lord today. Get ready for God to bless you. Get ready for God to make a difference in your life. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, he said that he'll draw all men unto him. And the Bible let us know today, somebody out there needs to know that Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares about you, and that there is nothing too hard for God. Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is authority in his name. So today we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the hour of power broadcast is on the air so that they too can be blessed. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, that word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Have your way today. Move in the midst of your people. God, your word says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn away from their wicked way. You said, God, that you will hear from heaven. You will forgive the sin. And you said, God, that you will heal the land. God, our land needs to be healed. God, forgive sin on today. God, move, Father God, like never before. Touch the heart of men and women, boys and girls, Lord God, that they will know you in the height and in the depth of your word. Father, for this, God, we will glorify and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast, and we are coming live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Today, we're excited about the word of God, for the word of God comes with power. It comes with the anointing. It destroys yoke. It sets the captives free. Today, we're going to be speaking from the Old Testament today, and our topic today is a topic that you can be blessed, and you will be blessed. We're going to be talking about the Amalekites take Ziklag, but David recover all. Somebody needs to be able to know today that no matter what you're going through, no matter what the enemy has tried to cause you to face and try to put weight on you, I want you to know that you can recover all. Even as we began to read the word of God, it is for our understanding. It is to give us revelation. It is to encourage us. It is to let us know that God is the same that yesterday, today, and he will be forever. So I want you to turn to First Samuel, which is in the Old Testament, and we're going to that 30th chapter and of 1 Samuel. And we're going to begin at that first verse. And we're going to want you to follow after us. We want you, if you can, just listen to the word of God. The word of God says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In that first verse. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smothered Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive, and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David, two wives, were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabah, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The word of God said, to let not your heart be troubled, but ye believe in God. Believe also in me. I'm speaking to you out there today. I'm speaking to the men and women of God. I'm speaking to those that don't know Jesus Christ, that you can get to know him today. And God's message is to you today, that let not your heart be troubled. I believe here when we began to look at the man of God, the man after God's own heart, which was David, when he and his men had returned home. They thought they were coming home to their loved ones. They thought they were coming home to their sons, to their daughters, to their wives. But while they had been gone, the enemy came in. The Bible said the enemy come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and we can have it more abundantly. Yes, the enemy came in to seek life, and the enemy smither Ziklag. In other words, they struck it, they stricken it, and they burned it with fire. And the word of God tells us that they took the women captive. They didn't kill them. They didn't kill anyone, whether they was great, they were small, didn't kill them, but they took them as hostage. They took them as captives. They took them away. So when David and his men, they came to the city and they seen how the city was burnt. And I just believe that after the scent of the smoke, the smell of the fire, they knew that something was wrong. They knew that it wasn't the way that they had left it in place. Can't you just recall that? You can't just remember, and how you can just imagine in your mind that you're coming home and you smell the fire and you don't know what's happening, how bad the situation did involve your family, did involve the people that was there. They didn't really know until they got in there, but they see when they got there that the enemy had came in. The enemy came in, they burned their belongings, they burned what they had, and they took their something that was very precious to them. They took their wives, and they took their children away from them. So they took them captive. Almighty God. Then David and the people that were with him, they lift up their voice and wept. They wept, and they were in an emotional tight state. They were broken on the inside, because that which they love, that which they belong to them, that which God had given to them, the enemy had came in and the enemy had taken them captive. So David, along with his men, the word of God said they lift up their voices and they wept. Can you just imagine, oh my God, the mourning and the weeping that was going on there, because they didn't know whether they were going to see their family again and the situation that they were in. The enemy come. The enemy came. So therefore, they began to weep. And the word of God to say that they began to weep. Oh my God. They were in great sorrow. I mean, that's somebody that your blood, that's somebody that you have promised to love for the rest of your life. This is somebody that you embrace daily. This is somebody that you have to look upon almost daily. But because of the enemy, they seen a way in order to come in after the strong men of the house, after thousands of men had gone out. They had gone out to battle. And while they were going out to help somebody else, the enemy came in and the enemy took what belonged to them, took what God had given them. You have to be careful how you guard what God has given you, what God has blessed you with. So David and the men, when they came back, all they knew how to do, they were the weak because of the fact that their loved ones, my God, was taken from them. And it tells us how David's wife was taken also away from him. And the word of God tells us that David was greatly, he wasn't just distressed, but he was greatly distressed. He was in pain. He felt anxiety. He felt sorrow. He was in it was acute physical, mental type suffering. He was being afflicted in his mind because of the fact that this happened to him. Happened to the people that he was given rule over, not just his two wives, but it's the people that he had the command over, the people that he loved it, was taken, his men, wives, and their children as well. So we see that in the word of God, that in this word, that David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, look at this. You know, how often, how you see people, they're with you today, but when things arise, when things come up in their lives, and they don't see anybody else to blame for it, and you're told to be the leader, and things happen. You know, you may be that father. You may be that mother out there. Things may not have gone right in a situation. And then somebody blame you for what you, that they blame you for what they thought was your fault. David had these men. He was the leader. He was in charge. And the men, his men decided that they was going to stone David. They didn't know what else to do, and their hearts had turned from David because of their grieving. When we say they were grieving, they was like in great sorrow. They was feeling grief, and they was mourning. So therefore, they decided that, you know, in their heart, they had talked about stoning the man of God. I mean, the man of God, they were planning to stone him. And just like in the church sometimes, when the things happen in the church and the people are not pleased with the pastor or with the overseer, they're not pleased with the bishop, they're not pleased with the prophet, or the evangelist, you know, they want to get them out of the church. They want to get rid of them. They don't want to see them. They don't want them a part of them. So here, David, men, they were so grieved. Things may have gone wrong. What happened, you know, what happened is that their little one was taken, but look, they had the wrong mindset. Their heart was not right. See, what's in you going to come out of you in a critical time in your life. You may be going through something in your life, and God even let you see what's inside of you. We see that inside of these men that were supposed to be with David, they wanted to stone their leader because things that they had was taken away from them. But and the people, they were began to, as the word of God say, was grieve every man for his son. You can imagine, you know, I can understand them being grieved. I can understand them being in sorrow because their sons and their daughters were taken from them. I can understand that, but I cannot understand how you would turn to a way to be so indifferent that you want to stone the man of God and blame him for something that was not in his control. He was gone just like they were. So therefore, they wanted to do this terrible thing. But you know what? If God be for you, it is for the day that will be against you. I'm telling you that when you can look to the hill with cometh your help, the word of God let us know that our help cometh from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. So therefore, we have to know where our help comes from. That help was not in David. That help was not in anybody else there. But that help and our help in the time of grief, in a time of things that have happened to us in our life, our help comes from the Lord. And many people forget where their help coming from. I believe in that 23rd chapter of Psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you know who your shepherd is, you don't have to blame people, you don't have to stone people because of the situation in their life or in your life. But David had to come to a point. Yes, he grieved. Yes, he was going through because the women in his life that he loved was taken away from him. And he understood that the men that he was over, he understood that they were grieving for their family. But then David had to do something that as a leader, he had to do something that stood up in him, that I believe that God just began to touch him and bring him back. Sometimes you may be in a situation and you may be grieving, but you got to come back to where God will have you to come back to in your mind, in your soul, in your spirit. The word of God tells us in that sixth verse, it tells us that David, it says, "But David encourage himself in the Lord." Sometimes we got to encourage ourselves. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we got to be able to inspire ourselves in the word of God. No, we can't do anything of ourselves, but we can encourage ourselves. We can know that the word of God say, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." I mean, we could go and we could encourage ourselves with that same scripture from the 14th chapter of St. John, when it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I believe that if we can just take hold unto the word of God, and we can just go and encourage ourselves to have confidence, to have hope in God, because Jesus Christ, he is that hope of glory. So to have confidence, you know, in God. God say, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." I believe David said in another scripture, he said, "I have been young, but now I am old. But never, never, never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." So we got to know who our shepherd is. We got to know who we belong to. And so David, the word of God say, David encouraged himself. When he can encourage himself, then he becomes strong enough that he'll be able to speak to those that he was leader over, those that he had to rule over. He had to encourage himself in his God. So look at that seventh verse. It says, "And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this truth?" He didn't just get his men together and say, we're going and we're going to pursue after them. But he began to inquire of the Lord. We cannot move so hasty in our mentality, in our way of thinking. But the word of God says in all, and not in some, but the word of God says in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he said that he will direct our path. So after David inquired of the Lord, and he wanted to know, shall he pursue after the truth? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered, and he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I know within him that blessed him on the inside. He heard from the Lord. God told him to pursue, and also that he was going to pursue, overtake them, and recover all. No matter what has been taken, what's been lost, that you're going to regain it. You're not going to regain some of it. You're going to regain all of it. It may seem like you may be going through a battle this morning. I want you to know today that the battle does not belong to you, but the battle belongs to God, and God is well able. I'm saying, listen to me this morning. God is well able to fight every battle, no matter what you're going through. Is it the account? Is it the bank, the money that you need in order to pay your bill? I'm telling you today that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Is there a sickness or a disease? Or what is there? Is it a job? I'm telling you today that there is nothing too high for God. The enemy wants you to give up. The enemy don't want you to rely on God. The enemy don't want you to have confidence and faith in God. But today I'm saying to you that you must encourage yourself and you must have faith in the Almighty God. For the word of God says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So David went, and he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, but 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook of Besor. David had 600 men with him. But 200 of them, they got faint. They were weary. They couldn't go on anymore. You know, I know it had to do with some of the things that their heart was going through. Some of it went through because it was like a sickness upon them. They were weak, and they couldn't go on. So David took the 400 men with him, knowing still that God was still with him, that God was not going to forsake him. Yes, I don't have the other 200, but I'm going in the name of Jesus. And they found an Egyptian in the field, in that 11th verse, and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisin. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again unto him. But he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water, 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me 3 days ago. I fell sick. 3 days ago, I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south. He was telling David what happened after his master had left him. He said, I'm gone. I felt sick. And he was telling them the places that they had invaded. They told him that they had invaded the south of Jerusalem and upon the coast which belonged to Judah and upon the south of Caleb. And this is the part that David needed to hear as well. And it said that we burn. The young man said, we burn Ziklag with fire. This is where David, family was, his loved ones, his friends, his men, family. They were the ones that burned Ziklag. And David said to him, see, when his master left him there to die without any water, anything to eat, he didn't know that he was leaving the key to David getting the people, the enemy that had taken his family and the family of his men, and had taken that which they before, some things that David had. So David said, swear unto me. Here, let's read that 15th verse again so we can be very, very clear on what the word of God is saying. And David said to him, can thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to the company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad. I mean, the one that he had left to die, the one that didn't have any food, the one that he had turned the back on, led David to them. And when he led David to them, they found that he's in that 16th verse, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth. It's like they was having a picnic, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon the camels and fled. And David recovered, listen, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all of the flock and the herd which they had drove before them, those other cattle, and said, this is David for. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also abide at the brook of the sword. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came to the people, he saluted them. Then after all the wicked men, that were of Baal, of those that were with David, and said, because they went not with us, listen to him. Listen at the heart of men that does not have the compassion and does not have the love for people, and most of all for the love of God. They had thought God had given them the victory, but then when they got ready and they got all the spoil, they got the families back and everything, they were, when they gone back to the other 200, oh, they didn't want to share with them. You know, they want to get rid of them. You didn't go with us to the battle, so you shouldn't have what we possess. You shouldn't have any of this, the spoil. You shouldn't be able to go back with us. So here in that 22nd verse of the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, the 30th the 30th chapter, it says, because they, that this is David. Let's read that 22nd verse again. Then answer all the wicked men that and men of Baal, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we would not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered. They didn't want to give him anything, save to every man his wife and his children. We'll give it to his, their wife, and we'll give it to their children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that teareth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. I thank God that God is a God of justice. I thank God that God is a God of righteousness. I thank God that he has the law for all people. And I thank God that God touched David's heart, that he was not in agreement with them leaving those 200 people there. Yes, they were sick and weakly because they could not go. They would not have been any use to David and the men. And they faint. They was fainting. You know, when you faint, you're weary, you need to rest. And you need something that, some nourishment, so that when you get up, then you'll be able to go forth. So here God is setting the order for the people to know, no, it's not right. You will not do what's in your heart. There's wickedness. It's wickedness there, and you will not do what your heart is dictating to you to do. So here we find so many things on today, and we look at God's word and see how God would bring us through with a strong hand and with a stretch out arm. And I'd like to mention to you that when the word of God tells us about the men and their how their families, their husbands and their wives was taken from them, you need to know that even I needed the Lord, the Holy Spirit just brought it to me in that day, in those days that David lived in, they had more than one wife. But today our culture and the word of God does not dictate to us to have but one husband and one wife. That was their custom. But God would have you, because I know that somebody would listen to me as I began to tell you that David's two wives were taken away from him. Yes, they were. But is that for you today, for you to think that you can live in bigamy and have more than one wife? The answer is no. Is that for you to think that you can have more than one husband? The answer is no. But yet, I thank God today that God showed himself strong. I thank you today that God came through and God saved and delivered his people, even when it seemed like it was a hopeless situation. I want you to know that your hope, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you see, because the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it, but you got to believe it. You got to encourage yourself. You got to encourage yourself. Somebody's going through some difficult time today, and you got to know that God is with you. You may have been given a bad report. You got to know that God is with you, and you got to know that whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Are you going to believe the report of the doctor, something that the doctors have called you I'm not coming against a doctor. I thank God for every physician, every doctor, every nurse, those in our profession. But I'm telling you that you got to go higher in the Lord. And God uses the doctors to bring cures and remedies to our bodies. But I'm saying that our dependence, the total dependency, supposed to be and should be on God. See, David couldn't do anything without God. He couldn't do a thing without God. But because of the fact that he acknowledged God, because he prayed, and because he sought what God wanted him to do, God let him know that he should go forth and pursue, and that he should recover all. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace this morning. And if you have a sickness in your body, if you have been given a bad report, you may be the enemy have come and given you some news. And I want you to, that your heart is troubled because of the situation of things that are happening in your life, whether it's a job, whether or not something happened in your neighborhood and community, things that are happening even now as we are spoken, as we speak in our world. But the word of God says, because this is like a twofold message, that let not your heart be troubled. He's using the man of God, the people of God, to let you know that he is one that saves and he's one that delivers. He is a healer. He is a deliverer, no matter what you may be going through. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just praise you, God, and we just thank you, God, this morning, God, for the Hour of Power broadcast. God, we thank you, God, for your broadcast, God, that you can encourage the heart and the hearts of the men and women, God, of the girls and boys that need to know, God, that you are God and that you are God all by yourself. They need to know, God, that you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the true and the living God. I thank you, God, this morning, God, because you have all power in your hand. I thank you, God, because you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, that that woman, that man, God, that has an infirmity in their body, I pray, healing, God, that it would be manifested. I pray supernatural healing, God, in their bodies, Lord God. I pray, God, that you would touch them right now. God, that even the pain, God, that expression in their body, God, that it will be healed. Father, by your stripes, God, you paid the price 2,000 years ago, God, for their healing and for their deliverer. God, no pain, God, no infirmity, no sickness, God, is too hard for you to heal. God, no problem, Father, God, is too hard for you to solve. So, Lord, I pray, God, that you, Lord God, will have your way. Lord, even as David acknowledged you, God, we acknowledge you this morning, God. God, that you would move in the head, God, of your people. God, your words say, ask and it shall be given. God, you said to seek and be found. You said to knock and the door shall be open. You said, God, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. God, you said it shall be moved. God, touch right now. Touch God goes. Father God, it's from city to city, state to state, God. God, you know where they live. You know where they reside. God, you know what school they're in. You know what college they're in, God. You know what hospital, God, they're in. You know what nursing home they're in, God. Oh, God, you know in their homes, God. God, you know the mind, Lord God, is sometimes being distressed. God, encourage their heart. God, even now, God, take them to that higher level, that higher height, and that deeper depth in thee, God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, your word says, let not our heart be troubled. So, Lord, those that are going through the day, God, cause their heart not to be troubled. Those that are weeping, those that are wept, God, those that are distressed, God, those that are grieving, God, touch them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, and God, if they're not saved, save, deliver, and make free. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you said it will be the best without my word, the believe in our heart that God raised up from the dead. He said that we shall be saved. This has been the Hour of Power with Dr. Mary Beth McCoy. Join us on Wednesday that you can, too, receive more and more of the power of God. God bless you.